Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Good Screen Podcast. My name's Russell.
My name is Lauren.
And yes, we've been away for a little while.
It's been a while.
As Stained once said, it's been a while since I recorded a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We were busy. First and foremost, we were very busy. Things were changing in life. For me, at least. Not for you. Less for you than me.
I got my tooth out.
Yeah, you had some dental work done.
Yeah.
And then we recorded, we had two recorded, and we're re-recording one of them now.
Because Russell wanted to be a silly Billy.
I accidentally deleted it.
I have had, like, the last, like, 15 good screen files just sitting on my computer. And Russell said, oh, we don't need any of these anymore. I'm going to delete them all. And I said, just make sure you got the one we just recorded. And he said he put it on his flash drive. But then what did he do with the flash drive? He put a fucking Linux boot on it.
I put a Linux bootable drive on my flash drive, which formatted it, if you don't know anything about that.
Yeah, I just wiped it.
It wiped it clean. And put Linux on. So we lost the episode that we're recording again now. And then we did another one with Will Party. But I'll be real, Will Party, your microphone quality wasn't good enough for us to actually put that out to the public. So
yeah, the mic quality was really bad.
It really clashed when we mixed together our mics and Will's mic. And you were also on Discord too. That wasn't fun. Other than that, we're back. We took a little bit of time after that to kind of refocus. We decided that we needed to re-record this episode because we actually really liked this movie.
Yes,
so we watched the movie again.
Yes.
And hopefully we can actually have something valid to say about it. Because I feel like in our first recording, we kind of just... We're still trying to figure it all out.
Yeah.
Lauren got a little more. We're talking about Donnie Darko, by the way.
Yes. I got some more. I actually wrote down some... questions, some food for thought for us to talk about.
Okay, you're into this one.
Oh yeah, I loved this movie.
Yeah.
This was the first time in a while that I feel like I truly did love the movie we watched.
Wow, that's sad.
Well, you like in a way that like I would rewatch it again and again. You know,
right.
The other ones, like yeah, they were good.
Like you watch it once, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but this is one that you need to digest.
You do need to watch it twice
mm-hmm.
or more. Either way, we're talking about Donnie Darko later, but before we do that, Lauren.
Yes, Russell?
What have you been enjoying on the good screen?
Like I said, I have a few things that I could talk about. I don't remember what I originally talked about in our first recording.
I don't either.
But I don't remember what I originally said in the episode that was deleted or in the episode we talked about with Will.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I've been enjoying Ooblets
again. Yeah.
Yes, I originally started playing Ooblets back when it first went out on beta in 2020.
Wow.
And there was hardly anything there, but I loved it. And I decided I want to wait a bit for them to launch more content and more updates. And then eventually they like fully launched and they were put on the Epic Game Store. And that was a huge dilemma.
Well, that was where the beta was, just on the Epic Game Store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no. The original game launch was also on the Epic Games Store.
Oh, really? Oh.
I had a key.
Oh, okay.
And then they launched the full game, but they had like a contract where it was like the first year was on the Epic Games Store, and then the second
Classic.
Year they would put it on Steam and release it on consoles.
Right.
And there was a lot of drama with that, but I feel like they were just doing what they needed to do to get their game published.
They got their bag,
yeah.
As they say.
They got their bag.
That's what they say on Defining Duke, the Xbox podcast.
Yeah.
More on Xbox later.
Yeah, Ooblets.
What is Ooblets? You're not even saying what it is.
Oh, it's Ooblets, duh. No. Ooblets is a indie game that kind of mixes Pokemon with Animal Crossing and card battle-based combat.
Is it a roguelike deck builder?
No, it's not a deck builder.
No.
Well, it's kind of a deck builder in the way that your Ooblets have their own signature cards. Like, there's, like, a base deck they have already. You can't really edit that.
Okay.
But you can add special cards based on what Ooblets you have.
Right.
So that's a fun way to strategize.
Cool.
And...
There's farming.
Farming is kind of important.
Because that's how they grow.
You grow the Ooblets.
Mm-hmm.
You do a dance battle with them.
Yes.
They fart out a seed.
Yes. And you the enemy one farts out a seed.
Yes.
Yes. So it's a non-violent game?
Not violent.
Not violent at all.
Just silly dances. And the plot is very silly. I did technically finish, like, the main plot line for Ooblets.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And, I wish they would do a lot more with it.
Right. Maybe they'll make a sequel one day.
Either that or just add another storyline for, like, after the main storyline. The
post-game?
The post-game.
Okay, so you're pretty much done with it then.
Yeah, I'm kind of just going back on so that I can work on collecting all the Ooblets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of Ooblets.
Yeah.
And there even are unreleased Ooblets in the game file, so...
Oh, so they're going to add more someday.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this game completely, like, I feel like if it didn't launch on the Epic Game Store right away, it would have been a bigger hit. Because nobody really likes the Epic Game Store.
I don't know. It's still a pretty big hit for what it is. I got plushies.
Yeah, you did.
I got a Clomper and a Shrumbo plushie.
And you got the physical copy on the Switch.
I did.
Which was from Fangamer, who makes good physical copies with stuff in them.
And they made the plushies. Yes. Clomper's very big.
He is.
Clomper's maybe one of my favorites.
He's bigger than the other one.
He's bigger than Shrumbo.
Lauren's looking over at the shelf where she has these plushies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this game, I remember just on and off, you were playing it on your computer back when you had your computer, and then I was expecting, like, more, but, like, I guess that's what a beta early access does to the game.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, comes and goes, but yeah, Ooblets. You've been playing Ooblets. Anything else?
I watched the first half of the third season of Bridgerton.
Right.
I think that's what I talked about originally.
You might have, yeah.
The first half of the third season came out. Netflix is being such a butt. They put the two halves of seasons out in two different months so that you'd have to pay for 2 months of Netflix.
Yeah, or wait a month. That's silly.
It's very stupid. I don't like it. But the second part comes out in 2 days, so I only have 2 more days that I have to pay for Netflix.
Okay.
And I'm excited. And I want to read the books.
Yeah.
And on, well... This is more of a Screenler shout out. Grady Hendrix is coming out with another new book.
That's true.
He's just getting them out. And I'm going to go get that on Friday, probably. Stop at Barnes & Noble.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. What is Bridgerton about?
Bridgerton is it's based off of a novel series, which is like, it's like fantastical real life. Like, it's based in early 1800s high society in London.
Right.
They had the wedding season, which was basically the spring and summer and, like, the very early fall,
mm-hmm.
which was when all of the high society would come back into London or, what's the town called? Mayweather? Something like that?
You tell me.
Something like that. And it is based on, like, real history. Like, this did happen. There would be debutantes each year and you would be put on the marriage market.
Wow, that's great.
Yes, and you would try and bag a rich husband.
Cool.
But the main part of the, like, a big part of the plot is that it's very rare to have a true love match.
Right.
A lot of times, weddings back then were, like, political.
Yeah.
Or for money, which, you know, valid.
Is it valid?
Back then, yes.
Okay.
When women had nothing, yes. And so the mom and the dad, Violet and Edmund, they had a true love match.
Right.
And Violet really wants that for all of her kids.
Oh, okay.
And her kids are, they're all named in alphabetical order.
Okay.
Which is fun.
A through Z?
No, A through H.
H, okay.
Yeah. And so it just follows all of them. There's a book for each one of the kids.
Oh, wow.
And some extra books, too.
Yeah. And TV series.
And the TV series now. Yeah. Which is an adaptation of the book series and is taking its own liberties, but there's not really a lot of people angry about the liberties they're taking, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, there's...
I know some people are like, fashion's, like, not totally historically accurate, but it's whimsical. It's not supposed to be totally historically accurate.
Yeah, it's not...
It's very close to the actual silhouettes, though.
Right. But also, like, they take, like, I don't want to say, like, in a bad way, but diversity liberties...
Yeah.
I would say.
It's blind casting.
Yeah, which is fine, mm-hmm. which is good. I mean, historically accurate, no, but but that's fine. It gives it a little more spice. It makes it feel more original.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to tell anyone apart if they were all just powdered up white people.
Mm-hmm. Like the queen. The queen.
The queen.
The queen is a beautiful black woman.
That's great.
And she has her own show, and
every
there was
queen
a book.
Should be a beautiful black woman.
Yeah. the Queen Charlotte series is honestly so good.
Okay.
It's heartbreaking.
Heartbreakingly good.
It's heartbreakingly good because it's very sad.
Oh, okay.
The King George, he ends up being like terminally ill, basically. Mm-hmm. And his mind, like, fades away. Oh. But his love for Charlotte is always there. And it's wow. very sad.
That is sad. Just like The Notebook.
No.
Different?
Different.
Oh, okay.
It's not as unrequited as that.
Okay, yeah. So Bridgerton is good, but Netflix mm-hmm. sucks.
Netflix sucks balls. I okay. hate Netflix so much.
I'm not a fan of Netflix either. And I'm just... been waiting for you to cancel that, but
I will on Saturday.
Awesome.
Yay. Although I don't know where I'll watch Heartland now.
Get the DVDs.
I guess. So what have you been enjoying on the good screen, Russell?
I have been enjoying a few things. Mm-hmm. I've been playing a lot of video games.
Wow. Groundbreaking.
I know, right? I have also been watching more Twitch streams, which is not a thing I normally do.
It used to be, but not for a long time.
I won't even say it used to be. Like, it was, I never really got that, you know, second monitor itch. Mm-hmm. The only time I think I ever spent, like, I'm talking like a whole weekend or a day or two playing my games and having something else up on my second screen on Twitch would be when the Shout Factory did the Ultraman marathon back in like 2018. And I just, all day long, I was just on and on and on. But I've been watching more on Twitch. I've been watching more Free Ren, which I'll refrain from talking about for now. Mm-hmm. We are in the early stages of working on something for that. We'll just say that now.
Yes.
And other than that, I have not been watching much other than baseball, you know.
Baseball.
When am I not going to be watching baseball? And I have been playing some games.
What games have you been playing? Give me one good game. Give me a favorite game from last week.
From the last week, I have been playing Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door for the Switch.
Okay, it's not the game I thought you'd highlight.
You thought I'd highlight the other game about the train? No, I don't have much to say about that yet. It's good, but I don't have as much to say about it.
Okay.
I'm not done with the story part of that yet.
I don't think you ever will be.
I think I will
be. It's a very long story.
Well, I mean the first, like, bit. I mean, the first update, as they call it.
Okay.
But anyway, back to Mario.
Mario.
Mario Thousand Year Door is a game that everyone loves, and it came out on the GameCube. Yes. And therefore, it is hugely expensive. It is, like, double or triple the price of the $60 price tag on the Switch version. So it's the only time... everyone said, oh, that's actually worth $60 for a 20-year-old game.
Yeah.
Because it's that good. And they made some minor changes. I wouldn't say minor changes. They made the changes that you would expect them to. Widescreen, better yes. textures, better yes. a little better graphics. And the music is now phenomenal and fully redone. Mm-hmm. And you can change it back if you really want to, but the music is great. This is an unorthodox Mario game, and nobody ever thought they'd remake it because it has some darker tones and original characters, and they were kind of shying away from that. Like, when we played
Origami King,
everyone was just like, oh, you're a toad, or you're a bomb. You're a bomb-mom.
Bomb-mom.
Ba-bomb.
Ba-bomb.
It's hard to say that. And it was all like, you know, no, you couldn't put, like, a bow on one of them and... be like, oh, you're actually Goombella. But in this one, they put a bow on a Goomba and said, oh, you're, you know, Goombella, or oh, you're Koops, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So everyone really likes this game because the characters are what drives the story. So they did a great job with remastering it, and the story still holds up. And again, this is a 20-year-old game, and like, if you would be completely blind to the fact that it released before, you wouldn't know that it was an old game. So, Lauren is actually falling asleep.
I was looking at my watch.
You're looking at your watch. Yeah, she was looking down and yawning, and I thought I was making her fall asleep, which is kind of like what happens when anyone goes on, like, a long rant in the game. So
I mean, I always get tired when we record, and I still don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we gotta, like, turn the air off.
No, I think it's just because I, like, calm myself down.
Oh, okay.
So much so that we can have a conversation.
You gotta turn more lights on.
And it just makes me sleepy. Oh. What even happened back when we would record for when we played Hamtaro?
Oh, yeah.
I would get tired. There's just something about recording that makes me a little apey.
It's like reading for some people. Like, reading makes me tired.
It depends on what I'm reading.
Yeah. But either way, Paper Mario, A Thousand Year Door is very good. And worthy of anyone to play it. And what else? I won't talk about the other stuff now. But that's what I've been enjoying on the good screen.
Nice.
I don't have much else to say about that. So, we do have a little bit of stuff that we can talk about.
I was going to say, Skyward, happy belated birthday.
Oh, yeah. It was Skyward's birthday.
Yes.
A little while ago. I got the notification that he was having something on his Discord server.
Mm-hmm.
Right after it was his birthday and everyone was gone.
Yeah. So I didn't see it right until away. I was like working all day that day and I didn't see it until after. So I'm sorry about that, Skyward, but I hope you had a very great happy birthday.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right, Lauren, do you want to go ahead and start talking about our movie this week?
Yes.
Okay. We are going to be talking about, or we are now talking about, our feature presentation, Donnie Darko.
Friend.
Real or imaginary?
You're a cop, Donnie.
Imaginary.
I'm going to tell you a little story today about a young man whose life was completely destroyed by these instruments of fear.
I haven't seen stuff.
Donnie is experiencing what is commonly called a daylight hallucination.
I have to obey him. He saved my life.
Have you ever seen a portal?
To repeat the beginning of the podcast, we recorded this episode about a month ago.
Literally a month ago. I have written down in my notes
that we watched the movie almost 2 months ago. Yes.
Oh, shit. That is 2 months ago.
Yeah, that's 4/19. It is 6.
I thought it was May still.
No.
Oh, no.
So, all right. So, we have some notes on Donnie Darko. I'm repeating this again for Lauren, but I'm not repeating it for our wonderful audience. So
Why?
If you can just hold in. Well, I mean, this is new for our audience. It's not new for you.
You said you're repeating it for me, but not the audience.
Yes. This isn't repeating for the audience because it's the first time. For you, it is repeating because I've already talked to you about this and intended for the audience to hear about it, but I deleted the episode. This will never happen again. All right.
It better not.
Do you want to hear about Donnie Darko before we start talking about the movie?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Donnie Darko was directed by Richard Kelly. I did not put down any other movies he made. It is starring Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yes.
Jenna Malone.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Mm-hmm.
That's his sister.
In real life.
In real life.
And in the movie.
Drew Barrymore, Patrick Swayze, and others. It was released in 2001, and it was first premiered on January 19th, 2001 at the Sundance Film Festival.
Yes, keep that in mind. January 2001.
Yes. Very important for later. And it came out on October 26, 2001. Also
womp,
very important.
Womp, bad time.
Soundtrack is an original score composed by Michael Andrews. It's a tasteful soundtrack movie and includes songs like The Killing Moon by Echo and the Bunnymen for the intro, Head Over Heels by Tears for Fears, during the school introduction, which I thought was cool. What?
Do you think they did the Bunnyman song because there's a Bunnyman?
Maybe. No, you don't have to think too hard about that one. I think I think that's a good nod. Yeah.
Yeah.
Notorious by Duran Duran during the dance competition.
Mm-hmm.
Love Will Tear Us Apart at the party at the Darko's residence at the end. And most famously, a cover of Mad World. For the ending sequence.
Yeah, it is the cover of Mad World. Yes. I didn't know that it derived from this movie.
And it was repopularized later on by Gears of War.
Yeah. One, there were memes.
And there were also memes, yes. But Gears of War before the memes, because that was like 2005.
Yeah.
That came out. All right. The movie was shot in Long Beach, California.
Woo!
It was shot during an actor's strike. Nothing changes. There is a jet engine used in the scene in part of the plot.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie. During a scene, a jet engine is used, a real life jet engine, and it costs $10,000 for them to use it in the shot.
You know, I thought that it would cost more.
Nope. This is also 2001 money. So maybe with inflation a little more.
That is a lot in 2001 money.
Yeah.
That's how much a house costs in 2001.
Well, nowadays you can just like start, you know, kind of be underneath a Boeing and maybe you'll get one.
Maybe you'll just get one anyways.
It'll just fall off in real free. Life. Yeah.
Oh my God, Donnie Darko in real life.
It could happen.
Yeah.
Yes. But the scene where the jet engine falls into Donnie's bedroom is completely practical. Haters told the director that jet engines don't fall off of planes, but during the production, a dishwasher-sized part fell off a Boeing 747 and landed on a beach. So take that.
It's happening 20 years ago. It's happening today.
Happening again.
Nothing changes.
The long shot at the school was also hated on by production staff, but after seeing the finished product, the production crew immediately completely changed their minds.
They said, JK, that's actually cool.
They said, this is cool, and this is going to definitely inspire something later on.
Yes.
The film was shot on an anamorphic camera, which basically means that it's a widescreen camera on standard 35mm film.
That doesn't mean it turns into animals sometimes?
No, it doesn't turn into anamorphs, but there is a bunny man in the movie.
There is a bunny man.
So think about that.
Food for thought.
Just like, yeah. with this lens, it required twice as much light to be able to see things, mm-hmm. because I'm assuming that means indoors.
Mm-hmm.
And the camera also required Patrick Swayze to kneel down because he didn't fit in some of the scenes.
He was too tall.
Patrick Swayze was a tall guy.
That's hilarious.
A book was released after the film came out, but it wasn't just like a novelization of the movie. It contained interviews by Jake and director Richard Kelly, and the screenplay for the entire movie, and pages from a book in the movie called The Philosophy of Time Travel. This is a time travel movie for anyone who hasn't seen it.
Technically, yes.
Yes.
It's also technically a Halloween movie.
Yes. There is a director's cut of the film, but we didn't see that.
There are deleted scenes on our disc, though.
Oh, there are?
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll have to check those out. The director's cut includes 20 minutes of extra footage, which is a lot. God,
that's so much.
Yeah. Box office wise, this movie did not do very good.
Most cult classics don't.
Yeah.
Well, for reasons. No.
For reasons. The opening weekend was just over $100,000 in the United States, and it was released 6 weeks after 9/11, and the trailer for the movie still included the part with the plane accident.
Well, it is pretty pivotal to the plot.
It is, yes.
Unfortunately.
Overall, worldwide, it only grossed $517,375.
It's not fair.
But
if only 9/11 never happened.
If only 9/11 never happened.
Donnie Darko would have broken records.
We would have seven Donnie Darko movies.
It would have gotten an EGOT. Yes.
All right. So, but it did go on to become a cult classic and... Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there is a sequel.
There is a sequel, and we'll watch it someday.
Yeah.
I think we'll watch it for Halloween.
Yeah.
All right, Lauren, what did you think of Donnie Darko before you go into your notes, before we start talking about the plot? Mm-hmm. What did you think about the movie? We kind of led into this earlier.
Yes. So overall, I want to talk about what I knew of the movie before we saw it.
Right. Yeah. All right, let's do that. Yeah, because I have something too.
Yeah. I had never seen the movie before we sat down and watched it the first time. All I knew of it, I didn't even know that Jake Gyllenhaal was in it, Patrick Swayze, none of that. Russell's pruning our aloe plant right now.
Let's go ahead.
All I knew was the Purple Rabbit. Yes. I didn't know anything about the plot. I thought maybe the Purple Rabbit was like a murderer or something.
Did you think it was a spooky movie?
I thought it was going to be a slasher movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, just because I didn't know anything about it, and it's like a cult classic, so I was like, oh, it's going to be a cult classic slasher movie. But right. No, a different cult classic slasher movie was featured in the movie.
It was.
When they went and saw Evil Dead.
Yeah.
And Gretchen fell asleep 2 minutes in.
How do you fall asleep during that movie?
Literally, it's like she sat down and passed out immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise.
Yeah.
So that's what I knew before. I thought it was going to be a slasher movie. My expectations were greatly, well, they were different.
Subverted.
Subverted, I guess, is a good word. Yeah. It's not like it was worse than I thought. If anything, it was way, way better than I thought it could have been.
You were pleasantly surprised. Yes. I think that's the right term we're looking for.
I think that's the term my brain was looking for. I was very pleasantly surprised by how much I loved this movie, and I'm honestly glad that the universe works in mysterious ways, and we got to watch it a second time.
That's before wonderful. We sat down and talked about it. You know what? Maybe I'll delete this one, too.
No, no, please don't. Please,
it would make sense for the... You know what? And honestly, Well, I am mad I deleted it.
I'm mad, too.
But I'm not mad because this movie is about a time loop.
Are we stuck in a time
loop? So maybe we are. I hope not.
How would we know?
You wouldn't know. When you start seeing a bunny, then you know. So
it's right
my
behind you.
He is right behind me, isn't he? My history with this movie is I had never seen this movie either. Mm-hmm. I have never seen a trailer for the movie. The only thing related to this movie that I've witnessed was it was featured in this AMV that I used to watch.
Oh, yeah. You showed me that.
It featured... I wouldn't even call it an AMV. It was kind of just like a montage music video. Mm-hmm. It was Return of the Jedi clips, Back to the Future clips, and Donnie Darko clips merged into a music video.
Yeah, it was just like this guy's three favorite movies.
Right. He said it was his three favorite movies, and he merged it into a music video for 180 by Summer by Taking Back Sunday. God. And when I was in high school, I liked Taking Back Sunday, so I found it by accident on YouTube. And it's still up there. I can link it in the description. Mm-hmm. And that's how I found out about Donnie Darko. But I never watched it. I'm kind of glad I didn't because I would have been, you know, one of those guys who was like, you know, made it my whole personality. Probably. Like imagine if Drive came out when I was in high school, which it did. And I saw it. Like, I'd be like, he's just like me for real. Well, I do really like that movie. But... all I knew about it, I did know that it was not a horror movie. I knew it was some sort of psychological thing. Mm. I had no clue about the time travel.
Yeah.
But I was also pleasantly surprised and very confused.
Yeah, I digested a bit more in this watch through. I don't think you...
I did a little. I got a few things a little more. Mm-hmm. Because some of the things kind of like are foreshadowed in the beginning of the movie.
Yes.
And I kind of understand the whole, like, current thing that comes out of the people's bodies a little more. Mm-hmm. And I also understand, like, the part where the teacher said, I can't tell you anymore. That was literally the teacher saying, I can't spoil the rest of the movie for you.
Basically. So, well, and also, because he was dating the English teacher.
Right.
And the English teacher just got in trouble.
She did just get in trouble.
So he didn't want to get in trouble. Yeah, he was like, I want to talk more about this with you, but I don't want to lose my job, too.
Right. So, I thought it was great. I'm at the same time as I just said, oh, I'm glad I didn't watch this in high school. I kind of wish I did, because I would probably have seen this movie a dozen times by now.
Yeah.
And I thought it was awesome. And I really want to see the director's cut. I will buy it again to get the director's cut.
We're going to hunt that down.
Okay, so you have a lot of notes. I don't have any notes.
You didn't take any notes when we watched it? I thought you did.
I might have did, but also I wrote the notes for the background information, so I feel like I'm leaving the notes to you. It's all yours now, Lauren.
It's all mine. Okay.
So what did...
let's go through my notes, shall we?
Is it like plot by plot, like piece by piece that you have notes?
It's notes that I took or things I wanted to comment on as we were watching.
Okay.
And then I also separately have notes in my phone.
Oh, great.
Because I didn't know where my notebook was. From the second time we watched it, that are more like food for thought questions.
Okay. So first time around, what did you discover?
The first thing I wrote down was... kind of looks like Dante.
He does kind of look like Dante.
He looks like our
friend
Dante.
Now, this means nothing for literally anyone.
Will know.
Will will understand.
I also said Bella and Edward in another universe.
Bella and Edward.
It is giving.
You know, I kind of think, I would have to look it up, and I'm not going to do it right now, but I have a weird feeling that Jake Gyllenhaal might have been in the casting for Twilight.
No, he was not.
You know, you probably know that.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Let me get to some actual... Oh, I said, is this Seth Rogen's breakout role?
No, Seth Rogen's breakout role was Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah. Oh, and then that's when we saw Gretchen.
Yeah.
When I recognized her from the Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. I thought this was going to go in the direction of like a Samwayne movie.
A what?
Oh my God, Russell.
Samwayne?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Trick or Treat?
Oh,
we had the same conversation the first time we recorded. You don't remember what that
Wow.
Because I did the mental math that it was going to end on like the stroke of midnight.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, is this a Samwayne movie? But no. I thought that... So, the scene where he sees his path and it takes him to the gun.
Right.
And then right after that is when he sees Frank again in the bathroom and his sister walks in.
Yeah.
I wrote down, like, I think he's going to accidentally shoot his sister or something.
Oh.
Like, he's going to be talking to Frank and have, like, the gun. And he's going to be, like, going to want to shoot Frank.
Right.
But then his sister walks in. And then, like, right when he's pulling the trigger, Frank goes away and he shoots his younger sister.
Yeah.
I saw that happening, but that did not happen.
Yeah, that was a moment. I didn't see that happening myself.
I thought that's what the world ending was going to be, that he accidentally killed his sister.
Yeah, well,
his sister did have something to do with it, but I thought it had something totally else to do with it. Then we saw Ashley Tisdale and Spencer from iCarly.
Right.
Oh, I made comment that Gretchen fell asleep 2 minutes into Evil Dead.
Right. You're grimacing at something.
No, I don't know what I meant by this. I wrote, this could never happen in the age of Ring doorbells. What did I mean by that?
This is like reading an old diary.
I don't remember what I meant by that. Oh, when he broke into his house and burned down Patrick Swayze's house. I think that's what I was talking about, because immediately afterwards I talked about phenomenal dance routine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to go over the plot in more detail? Because that was kind of all over the place.
hold on. I did make a note at the very end that's kind of like a food for thought type thing.
Mm-hmm.
About commenting that he changed his timeline, but why?
Right.
Like, did he change the timeline to avoid his pain of having lost Gretchen, or to avoid everybody else's pain of everything else that went on?
I think it was mostly because of Gretchen.
Mm-hmm. So he wouldn't have to deal with Gretchen dying again?
Right.
Because otherwise everybody else would feel pain for him dying.
Correct. And we'll get to that later. So, basically, I'll try and go over the plot now. And then if you have anything to add, just let me know.
Yeah, just do TLDR. Don't ramble.
Okay. So, Donnie Darko is seeing a bunny man, and he's going to therapy for it, and he's taking medicine. One night, he wakes up, and the bunny man says, hey, you know, come with me. And he falls asleep on a golf course, but while, you know, he's out, a jet engine falls into his room, and his parents and his sisters are like, what the heck was that? And then he goes to school, and he learns about this book, and kind of, you know, mirrors later parts of the movie, which, you know, you don't know right away. So on our first viewing.
What's the book?
I forget the name of the book. It's a short story.
No, it's not a short story. Oh!
It was a short story.
Oh, that short story, yes.
Yeah, that is English teacher.
Yeah, the English teacher had this story.
Yeah.
Where these kids, like, broke into a house, and they found this mattress full of money, but instead of taking it, they burned the house down.
Right. So, he keeps seeing Frank, and...
Frank is the bunny man.
Frank is the bunny man, and he starts... Frank starts telling about time travel, and he gets obsessed with time travel, and he finds all these things about, like, how can it be possible... How do you make a time travel device? And over the course of the book, there's also a subplot where his other teacher is trying to basically, like, get everyone to join a cult of some sort for, like, fear and love, like, separation.
Yeah, so there's three teachers.
Like,
there's
not wanting English to live teacher, in fear. Yeah.
There's the English teacher with the house burning down book.
Right.
The science teacher that gave him the time travel book.
He's cool.
He's based. And she's, like, some sort of, like, home ec...
Like, health teacher.
Health teacher.
Yeah.
Who starts showing them these tapes about how your life is either about love or it's about fear.
She's more important to the plot than you would first assume.
Yes.
For reasons.
And I've recognized that in the second watch.
Yeah. So, you have the two teachers who are cool and based.
Mm-hmm.
And Donnie, you know, is a very smart kid. He's not stupid.
No.
One of my favorite parts in the movie was when he was shooting like bottles with his friends, and they're talking about the Smurfs.
Yeah.
And he basically like
his friends were making jokes about how all the Smurfs fuck Smurfette.
Smurfette. And he displays this wonderful knowledge of Smurfs lore, which I didn't even know.
I knew the Gargamel part.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that part.
And it's out of left field, but like he's a very like when it kind of like it is before a later parts of the movie where he kind of questions authority.
Mm-hmm.
He when somebody is wrong, he basically goes off on them.
He's not afraid to tell them that they're wrong and why they're wrong.
Yeah. And that's, you know, another thing I'm just realizing now, like that's just showing you like what he might say to somebody later on in the movie. So his gym teacher, we'll go back to his gym or his health teacher. She's obsessed with this local celebrity who has like this basically a cult of like kindness and don't want to live in fear.
Yeah. It's also like rooted in Christianity also.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a metaphor for Christianity and stuff like that, I'm sure. And he immediately thinks it's like baloney because according to her, there's only fear and love, and he understands there's more emotions than that, and he gets, you know, kicked out of school. Also, during this whole time, Frank is telling him to do stuff. So he floods the school, and he also later on burns the house down, which is reflected in the short story.
Yes.
So later on in, of course, we'll go back to that. Later on in the story, Donnie does find a wallet on the side of the road, and it's the wallet for the cult leader.
Well, you didn't mention it before. The exercise that he went off on his gym teacher about was they had all these different prompts, and they had to choose if it was love or fear that prompted it. And his was that he found a wallet on, or this character found a wallet on the sidewalk and returned the wallet but kept the money that was in it. Was that because of fear or was that because of love? And he was like, well, you can't pinpoint that. Like, it's so complex and nuanced that it's stupid to say whether it's because of fear or love. And the teacher's like, well, you're going to get a zero if you don't do this. And then he tells her to shove a book up her ass.
He does, yeah. And then and then later on, he does find a wallet, and he decides to use that information to burn the house down.
Yes. Well, he finds out whose wallet it is.
Yes.
And it's in front of the house. It's Patrick Swayze's character.
But only after Frank tells him to burn it down and shows him in a vision the house on the movie screen.
No, he saw the wallet before that.
Right, but like
it was after Frank told him to burn it down.
Yeah,
that he did it. But he knew where he lived.
Yeah, he knew where he lived. But he showed him explicitly showed him the house on the movie screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he did it like right then and there.
Yeah.
So he was definitely being controlled by Frank. For part of the movie, but Frank might not have been real. The whole time, actually, not been real. It's very confusing.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
They present it as if Donnie is like somewhat schizophrenic,
right?
Is it experiencing very intense hallucinations,
mm-hmm.
but also it's real
in some way.
Like the time travel is real.
The time travel is real.
So, I need like 10 more watches and like a whole deep dive. I need to watch a 10-hour video essay about everything I missed in Donnie Darko and explain it to me.
So later on in the movie, he goes to a Halloween party with Gretchen. And after
who
the party...
Who is Gretchen?
Who is Gretchen?
Yeah.
Oh, his high school girlfriend.
Basically.
She moved into the town because her stepdad tried to kill her mom.
And they had to go under new names and everything. Yeah. Like, Gretchen's not her actual name.
Yeah. And they go, you know, to find... they go to this old woman's house who apparently is a time... She's the author of the time travel book.
Mm-hmm. And she's stuck in her own time loop.
Yeah, she's stuck in a loop to get her mail throughout the whole movie, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And they go there and they get jumped.
It makes sense later on, though, because Donnie puts the letter in her mailbox.
He does.
I think that's the mail she was waiting for the whole time.
Right. So they get jumped by the bullies, which one of them is Seth Rogen. And a bad thing happens, and Gretchen gets run over by a car.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people in the car are completely unrelated to the plot. Like, you've never seen them before.
No, other than there was a mention of them at the party because his older sister said, yeah, my two friends went out to get beer.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
It says her friend Frank
wrote
on the whiteboard on the fridge that they kept coming back to again and again.
Yeah.
With just like little things. But it said Frank is leaving to get beer. And it's the same handwriting that you see the whole time.
Yeah.
Like when. What was the spray painting that they made me do it?
Yeah, it's the same handwriting. Yeah. So I didn't catch that.
I caught that the second time.
Okay, that's pretty good.
It's the same shitty ass handwriting.
And Gretchen gets run over, and Donnie still has the gun. He has the gun at this point.
He brought the gun with him.
Yeah.
After him and Gretchen like had sex in his parents' bed or something.
Yeah.
He also grabbed the gun that was in there. And you see the passenger get out first, and then you see the actual real Frank get out of the driver's seat, and he, like, has taken the bunny mask off, and you see this shot of, like, Donnie over Gretchen's body.
Yeah.
And, like, over his shoulder is Frank holding the bunny mask.
Yeah.
Crazy good shot. Mm-hmm. And then it pans up to Frank, and he's like, oh my god, is she okay? Like, well, what should I do? And then Donnie just fucking shoots him. He just shoots him in the eye. Perfect shot.
Yeah, which they show earlier when he was in the movie theater with them. And he takes the mask off. He has a bullet hole in his one eye.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't know it's a bullet hole yet.
His eye is
missing.
You
just see his eye is, like, blown out. And Donnie asks what happened to your eye. And he tells Donnie, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Which was really sad.
Yeah, so this triggers Donnie to basically the end of the world, and the B plot is he burns down that man's after he burns down that man's house.
Mm-hmm.
The celebrity they find a child porn ring being run out of his basement or something like that,
basically. Yeah.
And he gets arrested, and the woman, the gym teacher, the health teacher, she's so distraught to this that she can't take Donnie's sister and her friends to Star Search
because dance competition.
Yeah, they did a dance earlier, and it was so good that they got on Star Search, and which used to be this thing that kind of like American Idol.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason that his mom is away for the weekend to be able to do the party, and his dad is on a business trip anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I mean, like, the health teacher is the most important part of the story, because if she would have been around, she would have taken the sister, and they wouldn't have taken the red eye flight.
Well, no, red eye means
red eye. Frank had a shot in the eye.
Am I
thinking too much?
I think that's maybe thinking a little bit too much. Red eye literally means first thing in the morning.
Right, I know that.
Yeah,
but also Frank got shot in the eye.
Frank got shot in the eye, and it was red.
It was red.
Very deep.
Blood is red.
Did you know the thing about unoxygenated blood being blue isn't real?
Yeah. They're just trying to scare us.
Yeah.
The
lizard race
lizard
that runs our country is just trying to get us off their trail because they have blue blood, but our blood is red because we're humans and they're
Lauren.
Lizards.
All right, Lauren.
I don't fucking
know. So his sister and his mom are up in a plane, and while they're up in the plane and coming back to Donnie's town, an accident happens in the sky, and it's basically Donnie taking, creating like some sort of portal.
Well, I feel like the portal was there. He just used it.
He used the portal, and the engine had to come with him because he had to die.
Yes.
And he knew that. So he used the engine as a vessel to take him back to the beginning of the month.
Well, because in that timeline, in the timeline that the movie took place in up until now, when the engine falls off the plane, his mom and his sister die in the crash.
Right.
Or it's, like, heavily alluded to that.
Right.
And so he takes the engine that falls off the plane and sends it through a time portal to land on his room instead. And Donnie also goes into this time portal so he can be back in his room when it happens.
Yeah. Because he has to be there.
Yes.
And they say in the beginning of the movie when the jet engine falls into his room and he's not there. They mentioned that, like, they're like, we have no clue where this came from.
Yeah, there's no serial, like, the serial number scratched off. Yeah. Like, we don't know. There's no reports of a plane crashing.
Yeah. Very weird. But then Donnie dies and everyone's sad.
Yeah, it's like this echo goes across and you see everyone kind of like waking up and being sad for like reasons they can't comprehend.
Yeah. Including the child porn guy.
Yeah, including Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
I think because he was feeling guilty.
Guilt or something like that. Like, that's the part of the movie I didn't process the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, everyone, like, wakes up in the morning and they're like, mm-hmm. what the fuck was all that?
Well, because earlier in the movie, his therapist was telling... Donnie's therapist was telling him, like, when you die, it's going to affect the people of all the lives you've touched.
Yeah.
And so him dying directly affected everyone who would have acted differently in the other timeline.
Yeah, even though he died before all that stuff happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, Frank, you see, like, his bunny man drawings.
Yeah.
And then it pans over to him, and he's, like, huddled over, like, the side of his bed, and he, like, goes and he touches his eye. Like, he's, like, something crazy. I don't know. Like,
avoided happening.
Yeah. His parents. It doesn't show Gretchen.
Does not show Gretchen, but at the end, Gretchen passes by and they say, oh, does someone, you know, what happened here? It's like, oh, this Donnie Darko guy got fucking slammed by this jet engine. She goes, oh, you know, oh. Like, I don't think she says, oh, that name sounds familiar.
Yeah, she just says, oh, that's sad or something.
Yeah,
like,
and then
that.
She kind of like looks at the mom and they both wave to each other, which is interesting.
Yeah,
because I don't think the mom and her interacted at all during the other timeline.
Not that I know of.
Yeah. So, very deep, big movie. You could watch this and pick up. I'm sure we're missing something. Oh, you have more notes.
Well,
okay, you have questions for me.
Thinking, so one of the things I kind of already asked, I said, would you consider this to be a Halloween movie? Or a movie that happens to take place on Halloween? Kind of like Die Hard.
Yeah.
Not that
Die Hard does
Hard.
Not take place during Halloween.
No, that's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
I know a lot of people consider Die Hard a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I think it's just a movie that happens to take place at Christmas time.
I think that that as well. I know it's a big thing for dudes to be like, no, this is my favorite Christmas movie. You can say your favorite Christmas movie is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
There's nothing wrong with that.
You
Nobody's
don't
gonna
worry
judge
about
you.
It. You yeah. But anyway,
just embrace.
I would say this is a movie that happens to occur around Halloween because there's nothing other than time travel, which is supernatural, I guess. There's no like ghosts or spookies.
No, there's none of that. It's just another pivotal plot. Part of the plot is this Halloween party that his sister throws because their parents are out of town.
Right.
The other thing I noted was that I still love how Gretchen falls asleep, like, not even 10 minutes into Evil Dead.
I really don't understand that.
I don't. She must have, like, taken a melatonin gummy or something.
When they were writing this movie, they were, like, probably, like, this would never happen. So, suspension and disbelief.
Suspension and disbelief there. The main big question that I had, though, that I thought would be interesting is... Do you think Donnie succumbed to the path of fear or to the path of love?
Oh.
Because that was such a big plot point.
I think that he didn't. I think that he landed somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. I know he probably feared the world ending, but he also did what he did to protect the people that he loved. So he's showing in real time that that whole thing was bullshit.
True. So.
Good question.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I see it both ways.
Yeah.
Succumbing to the path of love out of Gretchen because he doesn't want to see her die.
Yeah.
And also at the same time succumbing to the path of fear because of the world ending. But also, like, he kind of, like, created fear, if that makes sense, because he's the one who caused the school to flood. He's the one who burned down Patrick Swayze's house, even though that was technically
a good thing. Yeah.
And also, like, his own personal fear of Frank.
Yeah. Yeah. So, in the middle.
Yeah. Or both.
Yeah, or both. So, okay, do you have any other questions?
No, that was pretty much everything I had comments about.
Okay, so would you say this is a good screen?
Absolutely. This is an incredible... This is an S-tier screen.
S-tier screen.
Yeah. Eventually, I would like us to tier list all the movies we watched. This is going in, like, S+.
Oh, wow. Okay. That
very thought-evoking movie. I really do want to go find, like, a four-hour-long video essay. There's got to be something.
I will probably get the director's cut in some place and time, yes, eventually. But we'll watch this. This is the only one I can say, like, yeah, we'll probably wind up watching this again.
Mm-hmm.
For funsies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's switch gears. Let's go into our...
Let's be switching the gears.
Our screenless shout-outs. Do you have a screenless shout-out, Lauren?
I said I would think about it while we...
Did you think about it?
I guess... Could we talk about what we're doing today?
No.
No?
No, not yet.
What?
We'll record sooner than the last time, so... Anything you're thinking of in the last, like, month and a half? 2 months?
This was definitely something we're not posting. One of my screenless shout-outs from before was all my dental work.
Oh, yeah. You got some dental work done.
Yeah, I have Invisalign now.
Wow.
I really don't have that much of a lisp. But
no, you really don't.
It does mess with my words sometimes.
I know when we recorded the first couple times, it was kind of there. Like, it was the day after I think you got it.
Yeah, it was.
And I mean, that's not the reason why we don't have that episode, but...
I've just gotten used to it.
Yeah, you sound normal now.
I sound normal now, or we've both just gotten used to it.
Yeah, we'll find out. One or the other. When everyone's like, wow, Lauren sounds so weird.
It's because I have Invisalign now.
Yeah.
And I also got my extra tooth pulled.
Yeah.
Because on the front of your mouth, on the bottom, between your canines, you're supposed to have 4 teeth,
mm-hmm,
but I had 5.
Yeah.
And my parents gaslit me when I was a kid and told me, you don't have an extra tooth. That's just a baby tooth that still isn't falling out yet.
And you've had it for your whole life.
I've had it since I was like 11 years old when it grew in.
Wow.
So I finally got it removed, and hopefully it'll help stop the crowding in my mouth that's causing me to grind my teeth in my sleep.
Maybe.
We'll see. At least it'll make my smile look regular. Although I didn't mind it before.
I've never noticed it until you pointed it out.
Yeah, you didn't see it until after it got pulled.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that was a bigger tooth than I thought it was. I thought it was just like a little thing in front of a tooth.
Oh, yeah, and they let me keep the tooth.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which I was excited about. And it was my first time going under anesthesia.
Yeah?
I would do it again.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, what's your screenless shout-out?
My screenless shout-out, the band The Deer Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
I've been listening to some albums that I haven't listened to in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been really enjoying the Deer Hunter and the earlier works of their frontman.
It's Deer as in D-E-A-R, right?
Yeah, D-E-A-R.
Mm-hmm.
They are, more than anything, they are an artsy, like, concept band.
Yeah, you said almost all of their albums, but, like, one is a concept album, right? Like, it right. follows a plot.
Yeah, so the Deer Hunter is basically a series of albums... following the character, the Deer Hunter, mm-hmm, who is kind of like, I don't want to say twisted man or whatever.
Is he like a vigilante?
No, he's just kind of like a guy. But like I don't know much about the plot. Like I've of course listened to the music, but the music is cryptic enough that you don't need to really understand the story.
Yeah, you told me the one song was about like him killing someone.
No, that was another band. That was another band, yeah.
Never mind.
No.
I really like their color albums. I want to listen to those.
Right. So they did the Deer Hunter acts 1 through 3, and those were like out when I was in like middle high school. And then they took a little break from that, and they did a set of EPs called The Color Spectrum,
mm-hmm,
starting with black and going all the way to white. And it's like different tones for like the music.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. Like listening to it again, like it's okay. Like I really enjoyed it before, but it's okay. But it's cool that they did that. Mm-hmm. And then they did like a regular album after that. And that album's really good. and I think after they got the Willies out, they went back and they did 2 more acts of their Deer Hunter story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now they're doing like some different concept album, which is cool. I think it's technically progressive rock.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're very, like, I think of them, like, they're musically, sonically.
The Hedgehog?
I think of them kind of as, like, what if Panic at the Disco had better musicians, first of all. And
everyone but Brennan Urie was good. Brennan Urie's the only bad one.
Kicked them all out.
No, they all left on their own because they all hated Brennan Urie. Right.
So I look at it.
He was supposed to change the name of the band because it's just Brennan Urie now. He's not at Panic at the Disco anymore. It's just Brennan Urie. But he never did. That was a part of their like original. They all agreed to that, and he never did it.
So I think of them like in a musically level. You have kind of like, well, all the concept albums are set are like the time period of the story is like the early 1900s.
Mm.
So it kind of has like sometimes there's like. More of like the
old-timey
like kind of not ragtime like tone to the music, but it's still like, you know, your post like has post hardcore undertones, which is kind of like what the first Panic of the Disco album was like. But imagine everyone was just way better at their at you know, making music. Listen, I don't know what else to say.
Listen, I'm not gonna defend Panic of the Disco currently.
Yeah.
Panic at the Disco, the first three albums was peak.
Okay.
But one by one, they lost vital players until it was just
I've only
Brennan
listened
Urie.
To the first one because that was part of the, you know, the culture when I was in high school.
Yes, that was a big cultural influence. I really like Pretty Odd.
I heard that's my good. Favorite Tyler, album Tyler really them. Likes that album.
Of course he would.
Yeah.
He smokes pot. They wrote Pretty Odd.
They're high as a kite.
They went and they couldn't find inspiration. So they locked themselves in a cabin on the mountain, and they got high on all kinds of crazy drugs and wrote all these songs on drugs. That's why none of them made sense.
That's awesome.
But they were so good. And Vices and Virtues, that's when they lost Dallin Weeks, and they went downhill from there. And then Ryan Ross also left because he wanted to do more vocals, and he did some vocals in Pretty Odd, but Brennan Urie was like, no, I'm the vocalist. So Ryan Ross was like, okay, I'll just fuck off and go do my own shit then. And he made some incredible music on his own, but it's not posted on Spotify.
Oh, maybe or it's on Apple Music. Oh, no.
No. Well, it might be. I don't know. And he was in another band, and he did vocals for them, but I didn't love that band.
What band was it?
I'd have to look.
Well, we're on a tangent now, but the Deer Hunter, I'm sure they toured with Panic at the Disco in the early days. They have a very interesting tone. They're still technically like a pop-punky post-hardcore band at times. But I think they're branching out into more like just progressive rock at this point.
Mm-hmm.
No band truly stays the same forever. But their first their first three albums are notoriously known in, well, at least back when I was a teenager, in the community of like the post-hardcore like progressive scene. But yeah, very good band. I'd love to see them live.
Yeah.
But I probably never will. I don't like going to concerts.
You really don't. I am going to a few concerts this year, and I'm excited to report back on those.
Yeah. Very good. Also, his earlier work, he was in another band called The Receiving End of Sirens. They are good, but wow. They had too many effects to their like music. If they like, there's like weird like computer artifact-y sort of things, and like the lyrics are kind of funny. Because to get things to rhyme and like the cadences, they just repeat the same words sometimes, which I think is just the funniest thing. I'll show you when we're in the car.
Okay.
But yeah, he was the standout vocalist in that band, and then he went on to make the Deer Hunter, and wonderful band. If you like rock music, you'd probably like the Deer Hunter. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people talk about them. All right, so I guess that's it. I guess that's all we have. So we can finally announce our next movie.
Yay! Yippee!
We are going to watch The French Dispatch.
Yes.
I feel like I've said that twice now.
You have.
Which I have, but nobody knows.
Nobody else heard but us.
Yeah.
I want to see Timothée Chalamet. That's the only reason why I picked it.
Okay. So we're going to watch that next. We have some plans that we're working on for our two-year anniversary, I guess.
Yeah.
Of the podcast, but that's in July.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, yeah, we'll take it from here. We should be back to business as normal, knock on wood. We have, and again, we have some things that we're kind of working on behind the scenes to make our podcast a little more consistent. And we're really excited to be back on track and actually recording a podcast.
Yeah.
And I need you to airdrop this to me immediately.
You can put it on your flash drive.
I think you should airdrop it to me.
I don't think it will work.
It'll work.
Okay, then you can do it.
All right, I'll try it. Either way, that's all we have for today. Yeah. I want to thank you for watching, and I'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.